Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy Friday. We've got a loaded program today. We've got NCAA settlements worth $2.8 billion. We got another lawsuit with, you know, Ticketmaster and Live Nation being sued by the Department of Justice. We got D. Mace's wide receiver list, yes. 1 through 32, that we have to react to. Willie D. is live from MTSU. Willie D., late night for you out of the ballpark, huh?
Goodness, it was a late night, no question about it. It was an amazing night. I'm here at the TSSAA Spring Fling, and I'm at Middle Tennessee's baseball field, Reese Smith Baseball Field. And I've got two more games going on today. I love doing this. I've been doing it now for over a decade, calling these games. And I had one that, I'll tell you, that it was a memorable game. 12-11, it ended almost at 1 a.m. after a couple of delays. And Briarcrest edged Christian Brothers, a couple of teams from Memphis, in the Division II 2A title game. 12-11, Christian Brothers was down 8-0, came back and tied it, had two chances to win it in the bottom of the seventh and bottom of the eighth, only to lose in nine. So Briarcrest blew an 8-0 lead and still won. So that's the short version. There were so many other crazy things that happened, I can't even tell you, but it was a heck of a night of baseball, and that meant that I missed most of the action last night. I got home about 2 a.m., but I'm back ready to go today.
You missed the Nick and Willie Bowl last night?
Yeah, you did.
Mississippi State, Hoover.
I think a lot of people missed that one. It was on so late.
Around the time my game ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was so late that because I went and sat outside on the balcony for a while, and I came back in. I'm like, this game's still on? Goodness. So I sat out, and that was late.
It was a late night.
It was a late night. So, you know, sports ran a little bit over last night, which is good, you know. Got a chance. Obviously, the basketball game was last night as well. Boston ended up winning. Gentlemen's sweep.
D. Mace and I are riding in
solidarity. I'm taking it to the bank. Indiana's going to win two in this series.
Okay.
They're going to win two.
A little preview of what's to come.
Exactly. And people, be careful out there. We got a huge storm, it seems like, coming through here sometime today. I'm looking at Channel 5 right now, and they're talking about storm. I guess the whole weekend it's supposed to be potentially bad. And then it all sort of coming to a head on Monday.
It's not supposed to be a good weekend.
So it's like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like a cold red for weather for the next couple of days, because it's supposed to be a storm coming through here. So be careful, people, when you're out this weekend. I know you're going to be having a lot of fun. I know you're going to be on the lake. Be careful. Be safe. Be responsible on the lake, people. Okay? Because we want to be able to, you know that you're listening come Monday when we're on the show, or Tuesday when we're on the show.
Yeah.
When the show is back on. So just be safe out there this weekend.
Be safe out there. Keep an eye on the radar. It doesn't look great now, but we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for some more sunny skies for everybody to have a nice and fun Memorial Day weekend. But let's get into it, because I saw an article from Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic, and the headline is Leafs Predators Mitch Marner trade hysteria kicks off NHL silly season. And I thought, oh, perfect. Wonderful. Like rubbing my hands together like yay. I love silly season in any league whatsoever. And of course, the first thing that Pierre LeBrun addresses is one clip that we addressed on the show just a couple of days ago when Barry Trotz had his kind of last-minute press conference following the Ryan McDonagh trade. This was the clip in question from Pierre LeBrun.
I don't think Mitch is a free agent. So, yeah, I wouldn't be, I just been
they're
looking.
Trade talk.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, well, they have to talk to me. I haven't talked to them, so okay. Not that I know of. But I read the same stuff as you. It's just rumors.
And I don't want to pick on Alex Doherty, who asked the question of, hey, did you have any conversations about Mitch Marner? Which is very much so a big no-no. That when a player's under contract, a general manager cannot publicly make comments. So you heard Barry Trotz say there, yeah, last time I checked, Mitch Marner's not a free agent.
Hey, he shot his shot.
He shot a shot. Hey, he threw it out there. And I appreciate exactly. The boldness because, look, we're all wondering the same thing, too. Mm-hmm. Pierre LeBrun starts off his article, said, we are indeed in NHL silly season. The time of year when a general manager like Barry Trotz is asked about Mitch Marner point blank at a local media session. And look, it's all the conversations that we're having. The Mitch Marner and Predators conversation is not ending anytime soon. We've been talking about Marner or Reinhardt or several other names that could potentially be on the trading block or are pending free agents. But as we go throughout this Predators offseason, yes, the Predators have plenty of picks to work with. Yes, the Predators have plenty of cap space and even more cap space now that they're not on the hook for the Ryan McDonagh contract. So, Barry Trotz is locked and loaded. Like, he's got ammunition to use in this offseason. But now the question is, you got to use it right. And then Barry Trotz said, I'm not going to do anything that's not in the best interest of the Nashville Predators. So Pierre LeBrun continues to talk about the Mitch Marner and Nashville Predators, the possibilities, some conversations that may have been had or may not have been had, what the trade would look like. But Pierre LeBrun brings up a very interesting point that, frankly, I haven't thought about. I know we haven't talked about on this show. Pierre LeBrun says, let's go back to Nashville for a moment. Talking about, Marner and his future. Philip Forsberg makes $8.5 million per season and is coming off of a 48-goal, 94-point campaign. Marner makes $10.9 million. He's coming off of a 26-goal, 85-point regular season, albeit in 69 games. They're both great players. But what I'm pointing out is the Predators' carefully curated cap culture, where the top earner is perennial Norris Trophy contender Roman Josi at $9.095 million. One thing that I have not thought about is that Roman Josi contract, since he signed it, has kind of been that line of demarcation of he's the captain, he makes the most money on this team. Is that going to be a factor moving forward?
It shouldn't, if you want to make your team better, and I know you have guidelines historically as a franchise on how you like to sort of slice the pie of, salary cap, the money that you have to pay players. I know that Nashville has had a sort of, it seems like this long-standing, we're going to pay this guy this much and then so forth and so on. But when you can get an opportunity to get a guy like Marner, who's already making close to $11 million, if indeed you want him on your team, those are the questions that you have to ask. Like, do we need to go outside of protocol to be able to become a better team? Or can we stick status quo, do the things that we have been normally do, and work it that way? Well, it just depends.
Same process.
Yeah, exactly.
Same results.
But it depends. If you want it now, then these are some of the things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pay guys or guy an excessive amount of money to get him to come to this team. Mm-hmm. That's just the way business is right now. He's not taking less than what he's getting now. So whoever gets him will have to pay him more. In reading the article, I'm wondering why this didn't happen, because they said if it was going to happen, it should have happened last June or July and not this June and July. So obviously, why couldn't it get done last June or July as far as him being traded or whatnot? And why are they trying to potentially do it now? Because it seems like now is a little bit more stickier. It seems like him with 1 year left on his contract, how many teams are going to be willing to trade for that, especially right now? Because the article did say that the Maple Leafs hadn't gotten any offers. They hadn't talked to anybody. No one's called them about him. So are they doing that because of the money that he's making and the money that he wants to make? I know he has a no trade clause. I know that. But why are teams so hesitant? Take away, I know free agency doesn't start until July. Mm-hmm. But why does it seem like teams are hesitant to do anything in regards to Marner? They're hesitant to offer Toronto anything in regards to Marner.
I think the no trade clause right now mm-hmm. would be the number one reason. I think everything we're reading about this is all theory, all speculation, mm-hmm. all, you know, spitballing ideas. And within the media, right? There's no evidence that either Toronto or Nashville are even looking at this. So it's a fun one to talk about, but Elliot laid out about six or seven things in our interview with him the other day that are real hurdles, right? The no trade clause is a huge one. So you'd be wasting your time if you're calling a team about a player who has a no trade clause, unless that player has basically signaled or agreed with the organization that it's time to start looking at a trade. So that is really the first thing that Elliot said needs to happen here. There's going to be a conversation probably over the next few weeks between Marner, his agent, and the Leafs. What are you guys thinking? What's the other side thinking? And I do think it's very interesting, Caroline, the question you asked is Marner at $10.9 million, he would become the highest paid Predator in theory, and that would change the structure. I do think that has been a David Poile kind of thing. My best player on the team should be my highest paid player in a perfect world. And that's usually been the case year by year. I think that's a factor. I don't think it's a disqualifier in a special case like this. I also wonder too, and Elliot brought this up, is Mitch Marner so overpaid right now that he's going to have to think about recalibrating in his next contract and not automatically looking for a raise? I think he, in my mind, is not worth more than what he's getting paid right now. But when you're that age and you're 1 year away from unrestricted free agency, he's probably looking at wanting to get a raise. It's his last big contract. So there's a lot of factors here. All that to say, I think we're a long way from actually getting down to brass tacks and saying what would be on the table here for Nashville if they wanted to make a move.
Do you think that Roman Josi 959 number, like, I'll continue in this Pierre LeBrun article, and he goes through different scenarios with Marner, with Saros, so on and so forth. And Pierre LeBrun writes, if talks with Saros don't go well in terms of a contract extension with the Predators, that's where this gets interesting. So again, you get why the Nashville ideas began when it comes to Marner and Toronto. But I go back to what a Marner extension would look like and struggle to fit into the Predators' cap culture. Do you think the Predators' quote-unquote cap culture, meaning Roman Josi makes 959 and he's the highest paid player on the team, is that really a factor here?
I think it's a factor, like I said, but I don't think it's something that
everything.
You wouldn't consider. No, I don't think it should be everything. First of all, it's yeah. Barry Trotz now, who's the GM. The one that set that structure was David Poile. I do think he was the one that he thought your hierarchy should reflect, you know, your value to the roster. I do think it could upset a locker room if you've got two or three guys making more money than others when they're not your best players. So I think it's an ideal strategy, but I think right now, if you're looking ahead, the cap is going to go up, you know, several million dollars over the next few years. And so I think that stands to reason that 9.5 is not going to be your highest paid player every year for the rest of Roman Josi's contract. At some point, you're probably going to go out for a big fish, possibly, and you have to look at that, the possibility that Roman Josi won't be your highest paid player.
That's kind of
so I think it's a factor. I don't think it's a disqualifier at all.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, too, is when did Roman Josi sign his deal?
3 years ago?
Four years ago? Okay, 3-4 years ago. A lot changes mm-hmm. in 3 to 4 years, and even 2, 3, 4, 5 years down into the future. If you commit yourself – to, okay, Roman Josi, no matter what, is our highest paid player. Mm-hmm. You're kind of pigeonholing yourself and kind of limiting and handicapping yourself and your roster to that whenever we know it's a market that is constantly changing. It's a cap that's increasing. The value of contracts will be different. When the cap goes up, contracts go up. Players get paid more. Yes. So if you're saying, no, our cap for ourselves is no player makes more than Roman Josi's $9.59 million, you might miss out on the big fish like a Mitch Marner or any other free agent that could become available this offseason. And I'm not saying, like, hey, screw Roman Josi. That's not what I'm saying in the slightest. It has nothing to do with Roman Josi and his value to this team because, as we all know, he is invaluable to this team. It has everything to do with the market and really the needs of this team right now. What did Barry Trotz say? We need to get deeper, faster, younger, overall better on the top nine. Need to find more scoring. And really addressing that big question of, you know, those elite goal scorers, those top forwards. You're going to have to pay those guys. And those guys make more and more money year over year. So it has nothing to do with Roman Josi and everything to do with two things. The market and the goals of the Nashville Predators.
And who it is that you want to invest in. And that's an important question with Marner. So let's just, in a hypothetical, determine that Toronto and Marner decide, hey, we're going to explore trading you, which is what a lot of people think is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. I mean, in theory, Craig Berube and Brendan Shanahan could say, okay, let's run up the same flagpole with Marner again and let's look at a contract extension. That's possible. But I think a lot of people reading the tea leaves think there's a good chance they at least come to an agreement that, hey, we're not ready to sign him to the next deal. Let's play this out. And we'd like to explore trading you. So can you give us a few teams, because you have a no trade clause, that you would be willing for us to give a call privately? And if Nashville is on that list, then that becomes, I think, something where a real discussion can happen, right? So those are all hypotheticals that haven't happened yet. We agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of these are all hypotheticals.
Then all of a sudden, Barry Trotz could get a phone call and say, okay, we've agreed to, Marner has agreed for us to look around for a deal. He's identified you guys as a team that he'd be willing to be traded to. So what do you think of Mitch Marner? And so that is where Barry Trotz has to decide, is Mitch Marner the kind of freak, big fish guy that we've been talking about a lot that the Predators have lacked, big time forward that they're looking for the price that he's going to get paid? That's an essential question. So how do you find that out? Well, you look at his numbers, yes, anybody can do that. But then you got to really look at the person, Mitch Marner. Is he the winner? Is he the big time player that is worth every bit of the 10.9? I don't know the answer to that at all.
Yeah.
But you got a guy on your team like Ryan O'Reilly, another guy like Luke Shen, that have played with Mitch Marner, and they know a little bit more about the guy. So that's where I would go if I were Barry Trotz. And if all of that stuff lines up, then you could start getting into what would be offer for a player like that. But that's like seven steps. And Elliot laid all this out the other day. We got a long way to go before we get to that point.
Totally. And that's the question. Mm-hmm. Is he the freak that's worthy of $11.5 million, $12 million, or whatever he's going to want to sign for on that next deal?
Because that's super freak money. We're talking over $10 million, over $11 million. That you've got to not just be a great player, you've got to be a superstar. Justify that.
But even with that, how I understand what y'all are saying, like superstar players. That's what you pay superstar players or super freaks, you know, in is he that or is he not that?
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily is he that or is he not that. It's does he become that for the Nashville Predators, or does he help, you know, the team become much better, now a true player in the playoffs? Because that's what this is about. It's about adding pieces to your team to make you a legitimate Stanley Cup team, not just a team that, oh, if they get in the playoffs and maybe if they go on a run, if this doesn't happen, then yeah, maybe. No, when you add guys like this, then that changes the perception of your team. And that may change how you ultimately have to pay him, because without him, how do teams view you? or how do you view your team? Mm-hmm. And then with him, how do you view your team? Is your team much closer to winning a Stanley Cup with this particular person or any other person of his caliber? Are you closer to winning a Stanley Cup or are you still further away? That's how I think you got to determine it. If you are closer to winning a Stanley Cup, then maybe he does deserve that money that he wants, whether it be $10 million or $11 million, or if he just wants $9
million. And that's a good point. And I think another key question is, if you have to question if he's a freak, if you have to question if he's worth the money that mm-hmm. he's getting,
maybe he's not.
Means he's probably not.
Yeah.
Would anybody question if Connor McDavid made $14 million? Mm-mm. I know that's like an insane amount of money.
No, but nobody right. questions.
Would anybody question price. How much Patrick Mahomes is making?
No.
Give the man $100 right. million dollars a year for all I care.
It's name the price. Exactly. It's basically, you tell us what you need to make. We'd love for you to
get. But there's not many of those guys, Willie, and
there's
hockey.
Not many of those guys.
Yeah.
And Marner is, in my opinion, not one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But this is another factor, is he's got 1 year left on his deal. Also, so are you having a conversation about the next contract before you even enter into trade talks? Remember, they mm-hmm. did that with Kyle Turris, and they got burned badly, right? Mm-hmm. Kyle Turris, they thought was going to be a really good fit as the second-line center for $6 million a year. They're still paying Kyle Turris on the buyout, and they're going to be paying him for the next few years. He's just short of Bobby Bonilla. They need to have probably a Kyle Turris day to go along with Bobby Bonilla day on July 1st.
Is there a Kyle Turris day? Is there one day where he gets paid?
Well, I figure, you know, if there is a national, you know, tie knot day or a national, you know, mother's shopping day, you know, they have days for a lot of random things.
Yeah,
so why
national
not?
Chocolate donut day. Like, why do we need a day for that?
Right. So why not have a Kyle Turris day in Nashville? Celebrate. He's got a great family. He's a great guy, and he's going to get paid by the Predators for a while. He's not playing for anybody.
That's a good job right there.
That's the best gig
in the
world.
That's a good gig right there.
Him and Jimbo Fisher just sitting back collecting checks.
And Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, they're in the group of greatest jobs in the world, doing nothing and getting a fat check to do it. Mm-hmm.
No question.
But, okay.
That's what you got to decide. That's why I need the insight of – Ryan O'Reilly, other people I know around the league. Tell me what this guy is made of, right? Is it just that he's in a huge fishbowl in his hometown of Toronto and that whole program has been a mess and you get him out of there and he could get to the next level? There's a risk involved. But here's the other thing I'm trying to do. If I'm Barry Trotz and I'm exploring this, I want to take advantage. I'm going to imagine that Mitch Marner with a no-trade clause is not going to be agreeing to get traded to just anybody. He's only going to get agreed. He's only going to okay a trade if he's going to a place he wants to go to and a place that maybe he wants to settle in for more than a year. I don't know if he's going to say, just trade me to this spot and I'll be there for 1 year, right? So there's a lot of variables here.
And that's what I want to ask you, Willie, and you can answer it after break. Because he's only 27, I don't know when he turns 28. I don't know if he's turned 27 during the season and whatnot. He's going to want a long-term deal. He's going to want the 6-7-8-year deal. How does that look for the Nashville Predators? That's what I would like to hear your answer on.
And we can continue to get into that coming up next because, Will, you bring up a fair point of, like, do you have to get into – the deal talks, the long-term deal talks now. We can get into that coming up next. Plus, Willie's wish list of the offseason. We've thrown so many names out there, names that have been mentioned in articles, names that Elliot Friedman has thrown out on our show, names that Willie has come up with, so many names of free agents or guys that could potentially be on the trading block. So let's organize it from list of gotta have, could live without, don't need them. Willie's breakdown of the free agents and potential trade targets for the Predators this offseason. We'll get into that coming up next as well. And, of course, your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Do you think you're ready at this standpoint to maybe go after that big game, you know, that big name that may be out there? Maybe it's somebody who's going to be a free agency. Again, maybe it's somebody who's on another team right now. Thus, I can't throw out names because that would be against the rules. But
well, I've already got asked about the one. So
You already got asked about Marner?
Yeah. Okay. That's, I said I read every, I don't read everything, but I've been asked that a few times in the short period. Anytime I go walking around, even downtown Nashville, and I just like, that's news to me. You guys are just, it must be slow in the hockey world. So I've been in with our scouts and exit meetings for 2 weeks. So I haven't had time to do that stuff. But we'll make our calls around the league, and if there's opportunity for any kind of, I'll say, we'll call high-end players, we have, you know, we have draft choices, we have prospects, we have draft capital. We'll listen to anything, and now we have a little more cap space, so that's not off the table. But there's no truth to anything that you're reading right now.
Willie's wish list. We pick and choose our freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Pick and choose your Predator freaks. On your wish list. On your wish list. That was Predators General Manager Barry Trotz on with Stillman & Company earlier this week. And to take something that Adam Vingan shared earlier this week, this is Barry Trotz's way of a la Regina George and Mean Girls saying good and loser, we're going shopping. Because we've got cap space and we've got picks. And now we are going shopping. Which, really, I heard that you just watched Mean Girls for the first time. I hope that you loved it.
I did. I was inspired by you and Adam when we had Adam on earlier in the week. So now I'm going to make the recommendation for D-Mace to watch at some point.
Have you
so
seen
be in on
both
some
of you
these
have
references.
Daughters. How have you not seen Mean Girls?
I've seen bits and pieces of Mean Girls, but I hadn't sat down like and watched the whole thing.
Greatest film in cinema history.
Caroline gives it the highest recommendation. I'm not going that high.
So Rotten Tomatoes is just great, huh?
Or Hunter.
I think Rotten Tomatoes, it got like an 84 on my rating thing that I saw. It gave you the little preview, the info on the movie, and that was it. So I was like, hey, I got to watch this, man.
Pretty solid reviews.
It's pretty good. So they are going to go shopping. No doubt about it. I think we got to keep in mind that there's different ways to go about this, and the freak conversation is one conversation, right? Am I going for one big fish, or am I going for two or three really good players? Three might be a little bit high if we're just talking about forwards. I think if you're talking about free agents in general, because I think now that McDonough has been traded, there's going to have to be a move to replace him on D. So that's maybe something we wouldn't have thought before that trade happened a few days ago. So there's a couple ways to go shopping, right? Am I going shopping for a couple of guys who make between four and say $5.5 million, that mid-range guy that could be a great fit? Or am I going to go for the freak? There's not many freaks that are going to hit the market. Freaks usually don't hit the unrestricted free agent market, which is why the Marner conversation is kind of hovering. But remember, you are going to have to trade something to Toronto, even if it gets to that point, and then pay a boatload to Marner to keep him. So right now where I sit, I really would like to explore what is in front of you in the free agent market, because I do think there's some pretty good guys that might hit the market on July 1st. We don't know, because there's still times for their current team to re-up with those guys. Like Alex Carrier could still re-up with the Predators.
Yeah.
But he is a pending UFA.
And before we get to your wish list, Willie, or just your list in general, that is exactly why I think if the Predators were to get in on the Mitch Marner sweepstakes, and look, I think that Barry Trotz can at least kick the tires. He can pick up the phone. I think you can at least do your due diligence there. But I think that is why you're going to have long-term contract talks if you're going to trade for Mitch Marner. Because how can you justify trading what it would take to get Mitch Marner and then not be able to come up with an agreement, a long-term agreement, and you just have 1 year of Mitch Marner? Like, I'm just saying hypothetically, what if you trade UC Saros to the Toronto Maple Leafs for 1 year of Mitch Marner?
You got to get a deal.
Maybe you get to the second round of the playoffs.
That's a non-starter.
Exactly. You have to have those long-term conversations.
Yeah, I would almost look at it first of, is there a way I could trade for Marner and not give up something like Saros? Just because you're in an advantageous position. You don't have to trade. He's the guy that's got the no trade. He's the guy that's saying, I want to come to Nashville.
Yeah.
So why am I going to bend over? This is what all the Toronto reports, they do it as if Nashville is going to give up the farm for Marner, and there's no way that's happening. I'm not doing that. If I'm going to pay Marner premium money, I'm certainly not giving them premium stuff in return, I'm taking them off your hands.
Especially, yeah.
You know, that's how I'm looking at it.
If Toronto is looking to get either the number off the books or looking to go in a different direction, looking to break up the core four, like, all, it feels like a lot of these conversations are happening because they're motivated by Toronto. Because Toronto is looking to go in a different direction. If you are looking to change course, why do I have to, you know, sweeten the pot a little more just because you want to? Like, no, you are the one that needs help. We, and I'm speaking from Barry Trotz's perspective, we've got the cap space, we've got the picks, we've got a goaltender. We can go find other goal scorers in the free agent market. We don't have to do business with you. You got to do business with us.
I agree. So I think you use that leverage and you weigh your other options. That's the beauty of having the flexibility of a lot of prospects that you have as options, a lot of draft picks that you have to wield, and a lot of cap space. Toronto is not in that position from any of those standpoints. They don't have a deep prospect pool. They don't have a lot of draft picks, and they certainly don't have a ton of cap space when you consider, you know, what they're trying to do. They do have some cap space, but they've got a ton of people that they have to address because they've been renting and maneuvering to try to, quote, go for it for the last 4 or 5 years, and that's cost them a lot.
Now, Willie, you said you would try to, if there was a deal to be made with Mitch Marner, you would try to exclude UC Soros in that. If you do that, are you willing to give up some of your more than likely prize prospects in the process? Because you're not going to, if you don't want to put UC as part of a package, if indeed this come to fruition, meaning if Toronto decides that they do want to try to move Marner and they had that discussion with Marner, are you willing to give up prize prospects in return?
I think you would have that conversation. As far as when you say prize prospects,
I'm saying your top prospects other than Askarov. Yeah. Other than Askarov, your prize prospects in Milwaukee. If Toronto say, hey, listen, you don't want to add UC in there, then okay, draft picks and prospects. And we're talking pride, like highly taunted, yeah, taunted prospects.
I would say that in the prospect pool, it's a deep pool. Mm-hmm. It's not a ton of guys that I would say are premier prospects. Now, Joachim Kemmel to me would be one I would not want to do anything with. I'd want to hold on to him. There's some middle, you know, some guys like a Tomasino or, you know, guys like that who are good players that could be packaged with other things to put together something. It's a really good question, Derek. And I would just be trying to explore from a position of strength. Mm-hmm. If I'm Barry Trotz, and I would try to, I don't think it's an automatic that, oh yeah, UC Soros. It sounds great from Toronto's standpoint, but if I'm Barry Trotz, I don't want Mitch Marner that bad. I've got other ways that I can improve my roster with Soros. I got to know, for example, there's a lot of talk of, well, now that if you were Toronto and you got Soros, you have Soros and Joseph Woll. Joseph Woll is a 25-year-old goalie that looks pretty good. He's had trouble staying healthy, but he's played really well when he's played. To me, if I'm going to think about giving you Soros for Marner, I want Woll back. That gives me another goalie to put with Askarov. You see what I'm saying? These are the things that you would talk through. To me, there's just a lot of layers to this. It's very complicated. From where I sit, I'm leaning against going that way. I kind of like what's out there in the free agent market or going in a different direction to get a premier forward, packaging some other things where I keep Soros and I get an upgrade at forward.
So
And I'll replace McDonough. Obviously, that's another big piece that you got to do now.
Another little piece that was added to your to-do list this past week. We've thrown out so many names. Marner, probably the biggest one that we've talked the most about, but several names of pending UFAs or potential trade targets. So, Willie, we tasked you with kind of ranking those players in terms of, you know, great fit to maybe not so great fit or gotta have to, yeah, we can probably live without them. Give us kind of a peek behind the curtain of who you are looking at to be the best fits in terms of, you know, style of play, in terms of locker room fit, in terms of, you know, just making sense financially. Who are you looking at the top of your list that should be at the top of Barry Trotz's list?
Okay, do you want me to discuss just forwards, or do you want to throw the defenseman into the discussion as well. If we're just talking free agents, because there's also the other route would be, I've got a million picks, right? I got a bunch of second round picks. I got a bunch of fourth round picks. So I'll give you a second and a third. I'll throw in a prospect like Tomasino, and that gets me somebody off of your payroll that you don't think you can keep. I mean, there's that, and that's so hard to predict and speculate on. So let's leave those guys out. Mm-hmm. So real quick, I'll give you the three defensemen that I think would be the most attractive to replace McDonough if you're just going free agent, right? Number one, what's going to happen with Alex Carrier? Just, you know him. You know what he's about. Andrew Burnett knows where he fits. That is one thing that I think you're going to keep hearing is, can you re-sign Carrier? They certainly can. It's just they want to keep it at a price that they think is fair. So there's one. That's sort of a sidebar. We talked a lot about Brett Pesce. Adam has shared a lot of numbers with me. He shared them on our show. I think Brett Pesce as a right-hand shot could be, a good fit. He's the type of player that McDonough is. He's a winner. He's younger. He's going to be expensive, but maybe not as expensive as McDonough has been. And I think he would be a nice fit on the team, even though he's not a scorer. He's a stay-at-home defenseman, but that could balance the, ambitious play that Yossi has. Yossi's going to get up the ice. He's going to go for it. So having a partner that kind of stays back and restores order is potentially a good fit. So Brett Pesce's on the list. If you're looking at a guy that Andrew Burnett has a background with and is aggressive and gets up in the play, and he's a little bit more like Yossi, and he fits in the Burnett system, I'm looking at a guy like Brandon Montour, who might become available if Florida kind of runs up against the cap, which they will. They're going to have to re-sign Sam Reinhart, who scored 57 goals. He's going to be really expensive. He's already making 6.5, but I can't imagine that Florida lets him get away. So that might have them saying, well, we got to make choices here. Montour is going to become a free agent. I don't know that for sure, but if he hit, that's a guy I would take a look at for sure. So those are the three names, Carrier, Pesce, Montour. Then there's some others as well. That's just on D.
If the Predators re-signed Carrier, I have viewed it that, it's not going to be filling that McDonough role. He's
no,
not going
to
solve
it'll be to do
your
the same
problem.
Thing he's been doing.
Right. He's not going to solve your McDonough problem, but it at least doesn't create another need for another defenseman in his place.
Agreed. So it would be Carrier and someone else.
I want to get into the forwards on your list as well. So we'll do that coming up next, unless you have a final thought on that, Willie.
No, that's good. And Barry Trotz was asked by Jared the other day, can you replace McDonough internally? And he said basically no, not right now. But you do have options internally that I do think will play bigger roles. Spencer Stastny for sure is one. A wild card is Tanner Molendijk, who's really, really young. But I think he could be somewhere in the picture next year with a really high upside, but super, super young. And then there's some other guys in Milwaukee that I think have shown that they're pretty good prospects. But I think in the short term, I feel good about going out and getting another veteran, in addition to signing Carrier, if that's the route they go.
Let's get into the forwards on the other side. Free agents, of course, like Willie said, trades are always a possibility because the Predators have picks and they have prospects in their arsenal if they want to put together a trade package. But just based off of who we not necessarily know for certain, but know are pending UFAs, who would be the best fits for the Predators? We'll get back into Willie's wish list coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park. I was there for the doubleheader yesterday, and it was a blast. Pre-game at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Tune into 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Coverage will begin at 4 p.m. with the race starting at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. We'll have Ask D. Mace in less than 1 hour, so get those questions in for D. Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get your texts in. We'll get to your calls starting right at 12:30, so Ask D. Mace in less than 1 hour. But now we're getting into Willie's wish list, addressed a couple defensemen that the Predators could add, or even Alexander Alexander Carrier, who is a pending UFA, to re-sign him, and potential options to fill that hole now that Ryan McDonough has been traded back to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But what about some goal scorers, Willie? This team needs some goal scorers. Who's on your wish list?
And let me add one more to the list before, because I would be remiss if I don't add the one name that Elliot threw out to our group and on his podcast.
Public enemy
Nikita
number one.
Zadorov. Yeah, Zadorov. If you wanted to go the big route. So I gave you three different kinds, right? I got the stay-at-home guy, right-hand shot, Brett Pesce, who's a little bit more in the McDonough mold. I got the offensive defenseman who maybe Andrew Brunette kind of likes, that he's got a background with, in Brandon Montour. And then, as Elliot calls him, a tree. And there's more than one. But those big, huge guys who hit, intimidate, like Zadorov, those are three different types of defensemen. All could maybe, in theory, help the Predators. They're not going to sign all of them. But that would be a good list, I think, to keep your eye on, those types of guys. So now let's get to the forwards, right? The Marner thing is its own thing. The next thing that I think is a little bit of a unique category would be Steven Stamkos. Now that Ryan McDonough is back on Tampa Bay, what does that do? Number one, it puts Tampa in a ridiculous cap situation. I don't know what their capologist is telling them. It makes no sense to me from their standpoint. They're going to have to give something up, and I just don't see how they have the budget to re-sign Stamkos. Now, the problem with Stamkos to Nashville is now you've lost the ace recruiter, because Ryan McDonough, if anything, is going to be recruiting him to try to find a way to get back to Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. So that took a little bit of the piece away from what Stamkos covet coming to Nashville. So I still think that could be there. He could hit the market. I would look at him. He's coming off his age 34 season. He had 40 goals, 41 assists. Now, a lot of that is on the power play, and there's nothing wrong. Power play goals, last I checked, count the same amount as even strength goals, right? But he has not been quite the force 5-on-5 the last couple years. But he's one of those amazing shooters who is going to energize your power play. So what is that? What kind of offer are we talking here? Probably not a 5 or 6 year deal, right? He's too old for that. So do you try to concentrate, say, a 2 year deal? He's been making 8.5 for the last several years. So what do you guys think of it, like a 2 year deal, and maybe you go high at like 8.5 or 9 million and say, come here for 2 years, play alongside of Ryan O'Reilly, play with Luke Shen, and let's see if we can go win?
I would definitely go shorter term, just because you said, well, he's 34, 35.
Yeah, so he'll be 35. He's 34 now.
To commit anything longer than 2, maximum 3 years, I think would be silly. You're almost setting yourself up for failure there. But here's the interesting thing about this, about the Stamkos sweepstakes. Because I'm with you, Willie. When I saw the McDonough trade, my first thought was, okay, there is no way, ain't no way they have money to re-sign Steven Stamkos. But I talked to Robbie and Joe. I was on their show earlier this week, and Robbie said, well, I think that this is even more reason that the Lightning are going to re-sign Steven Stamkos, because what's the point of trading for Ryan McDonough if you're only going to lose another key cog right to this kind of championship roster? So I was like, you know what? That's a really good point. That is true. That if Tampa Bay is trying to capitalize on this window.
I agree with that 100%. I thought that. But then you start looking at the math. Elliot said the same thing. But I'm like, Elliot, look at the math. What are you paying Stamkos? Is he taking a big cut? They only have $5 million of cap space. And they have other players that they have to sign. They have to fill out a roster. That's what we were joking, right? They're not going to go out with a team of 15 players.
They
have to have those extra guys. So somebody else big has got to go, and it's not just Tanner Jeannot. There's to me. So, look, that could be right, but then another guy is going to be trade bait, and that would be an interesting thing to take a look at. So Stamkos may not hit the market. I agree. It makes perfect sense that if you're going to bring McDonough back and get the band back together, you're not going to let Stamkos go. But I just don't see how the cap works. It's a hard cap. You can't finagle the cap.
And maybe they
quite as easily.
Maybe the Lightning do try to finagle the deal a little bit, because what is he making now? 8.25?
8.5.
8.5. Maybe the Lightning will look at it and say, look, we could sign you to 2 years, 8.5, or we could sign you to you know, 3 years, $3 million, 3 years, four years, $4 million, whatever it might be, we'll commit more term. So there's less money against our cap this year. Are we going to have to pay you well past your prime? Probably. But our window's short anyways. Our window is closing anyway. So we'll just try to fit you under the cap this year and eat it in the final couple of years of the contract.
Yeah, they could do that. But there's no doubt that they have decided we are going to put the pedal to the metal and go Thelma and Louise, and we're going to try to win until we drive the car off the cliff. We know the car is going over the cliff. We just hope that the runway is long enough that we can make one or two more big runs and try to have one more kick at the can. They know it's going to be – it's a disaster waiting to happen. So they're just trying to put it off as long as they can. But with only $5 million of cap space, 5.035 to be exact, according to Cap Friendly, they still – they would only have six defensemen signed. You can't only have six defensemen. You have to have seven or eight. So that's no budget for that. They would be over the cap to sign Stamkos, even if, let's just say, he signed for $6 million. That would still put you over the cap with several other forwards that you have to fill out, even if only making the league minimum, right? Yeah. You got to have some depth somewhere in there. So it's still very problematic without coughing up another player that is part of their, quote, core. So, that is a wait and see. But if Stamkos hits the market, I think you got to take a look at it. Although that would be a little bit more of, we're going to try to go for it for a year or two, right? You wouldn't be bringing in a guy like Stamkos if you didn't think you could elevate and start being a team that could win playoff series, which ties into your Soros discussion, right? Because the Soros thing is a gamble that you guys have admitted. If you're going to think about trading Soros, you got to be thinking about taking a step back. To take a couple steps forward. I'm not taking a step back if I'm signing Stamkos, right?
Totally. That would just not make very much sense. That you bring in, you know, a proven goal scorer just to turn around and put in an unproven commodity in net. That's the
right.
That's the decision that Barry Trotz is going
to have. That's too
much risk. That it doesn't make any sense. It's addition by subtraction, or subtraction by addition, rather. In addition to Stamkos, really quickly, the rest of your forward list.
Okay, and these are names just that we'll talk more as we go forward here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think that the Chandler Stephenson name that Elliot brought up the other day that Jared hasn't heard of, and I laughed at that because Stephenson is a really, really good player. He would be a great example to me of a guy that you wouldn't pay $8 million or $9 million, something like that. You'd get into that range of that five and a half, maybe six, you know, something like that, but maybe you get him a little less. And he's a guy that I think could be a great, complete, all-around player, a winning player, that's a 50- to 60-point guy that takes face-offs that I think could fit, help you win in a lot of different ways, even if he didn't score, a la Ryan O'Reilly. And he would be an upgrade, a big upgrade, at center. I think that would be a name to study if you're sitting there going, who is Chandler Stephenson? You know, he's been playing for Vegas. He is a center on a team that's very deep at center. But I think he's a really good player. Keep an eye on him. There's, of course, Elias Lindholm, who we just saw. He might hit the market, and he's a great number two center that I think has been a really good player in the league for a while. So if we're looking at centers, those are the names. Stamkos, I don't know if I consider still a pure center. He is a guy that wins faceoffs, but he is kind of a quasi-center wing. But at age 34, I don't know if he's a fit at center. So he's an interesting category. And then there's some wingers, some speedy wingers that I like. Tabo Teravainen, Anthony Duclair, who Andrew Burnett has gotten to see up close. He's a speedy player, a rush player. Andrew Burnett, I think, likes players like that on the wing. Duclair is an interesting one. And obviously, Tampa has no money to offer him. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to hit the market. Jake Guentzel is one. Take a look at Carolina. Their GM just stepped down. They're going to have a new GM. They got a lot of players that are free agents, a lot of decisions. A guy like Guentzel, they might re-sign him, but he could hit the market, and he obviously is a great player. Now, he would be a guy that's going to make a ton of money, so that would be a big investment. So those are just a few names. Another name that we discussed the other day is Jake DeBrusk from the Bruins. He would be another guy that you would pay substantially, but not in the $8, $9 million. But he would be a guy that in the mode of I'm going at you with a really good balanced top nine, where I have three lines that can hurt you every night, and I'm going to get one or two of those lines going consistently, and that's how I'm going to overwhelm you. with a good team. I think DeBrusk would fit in that kind of attack for the right price.
And we'll continue to get into Willie's list, break down, you know, the likelihood factor of those players even hitting free agency, much less becoming eventual Nashville Predators, the fit. We'll continue to do a deep dive into that. But, Willie, yesterday, D-Mace had a list of his own. 1 through 32, his wide receiver power rankings of the 2024 season. There were a couple of Tennessee Titans that were featured on the list. And what I want to get into is, how does one of those individual Tennessee Titan players maybe graduate to a higher ranking on D-Mace's list? So we'll break down D-Mace's wide receiver power rankings coming up next. Reminder, ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And you can join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. So sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.